Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. I'm going to speak this week about something that bothers me to a large extent, a very large extent. It is an issue that we should be considering thinking of. However, very few of us are aware of it. And the reason is that the media, whether it be television, newspapers, magazines, the radio, are not carrying the issue or covering the issue to any extent. It's sort of sitting out there waiting to explode, yet no one wants to talk about it. And what does it concern? It concerns banks. And most of the show tonight is dedicated to this problem I see on the horizon regarding banks, and which I wish to share with you because we should all be concerned about it. I wrote an article on this, which will appear tomorrow in Conquer Life. My column this week is called Banks Hurt People. And what I'm giving you briefly tonight is a synopsis of that article. The article itself is quite detailed. There was a time when bankers were the most respected people in the community, except for the church pastor. Bankers were loved. They were good people. They were honorable people. No more. Today, banks are whores. The only way they can be labeled, they're prostitutes. They're whores. And the reason they are is, and they've been this way, by the way, since 2008, the recession there over the mortgages, and since, because they will do anything for money. They are whores because they will do anything for money. If the shoe fits, wear it. What aggravates me is that we were told the banks were too big to fail, too big to prosecute. As a result of being too big to fail, too big to prosecute, they were never made to take responsibility for the people they put out of their businesses, the millions of people thrown out of their homes on the mortgage foreclosures, and every other evil thing that the banks did from 2008 up that caused this major recession and has hurt the economy. And the people have yet to come back from it. When you see all these fancy numbers, the markets this high and everything else, it's the rich, the corporations, and the banks that are making the money, not the fella on Main Street. Okay, now, so what's happened is because they were too big to fail, too big to prosecute, never brought to task, the banks continue to connive, do wrong. They don't care for the public they should serve or supposed to serve. That means you and me. They are making more money today, the banks, than they made in 2008. Would you believe it? More money today. And they do it by doing the wrong things, which place you and me and our economy in this country, the economy worldwide today, because everything's global, in jeopardy. Here's what's happening. I believe this is going to happen. I can't say absolutely it's going to happen, but there is a sense out there that a worldwide credit crunch is coming. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have another recession. If there's a worldwide credit crunch, the recession is going to affect the banks big time. Because if there is this credit, you got to understand, the Euro Union is teetering and tottering. Greece is not paying their bill. Greece probably will drop out of the Euro Union. Then Italy will follow, and probably Spain, and then maybe Portugal. Once two or three drop out of the Euro Union, it will be open admission that the Euro Union is a failure. And what happens now? All these countries got all this money invested in the Euro Union, which they've loaned to Greece, you know, to Portugal, to Spain, to Italy. They didn't get paid back. Well, the member nations who are still there are going to take the hit, especially Germany is going to take the hit because Germany is the one who put in the most dollars into the Eurobank that could be loaned to the other countries. They were rich when this thing started going. They are still considered rich, but they really aren't, because if Germany doesn't get paid back these dollars, Germany is in a big-time recession. It's amazing, isn't it? Well, when the credit crunch comes, if it does come, and I'm assuming it's going to come in the next year or two, if it does come, there is going to be a run on the banks. Now, you know what a run on the banks is. People become afraid that the banks are not strong, that the banks are going to lose their money, and they run to the bank and they take their savings out. Very simple. Well, I'm not talking about that kind of a run on the bank. I'm talking, it won't be by depositors. I'm talking about a run on the banks by other banks. Okay, a run on the banks by other banks. And here's how it works. The banks today loan money to each other, big time. And it's like the mortgage situation back in the early 2000 through 2008. They loan money to banks who don't have the credit to pay this money back if things get tough. They just don't. The banks are overextending themselves and borrowing money from other banks. But this is a worldwide trend now. Banks loan each other big money, and suppose there's a bank now that has to, wants their money back. Things are happening. And they look at this bank in Duluth, Minnesota, and they say, you can't pay us back. Or they look at one of the major banks like a J.P. Morgan Chase or a Citicorp who were in trouble before. We bailed them out, but this time ain't nobody going to bail them out. And another bank says, I want my money. There'll be a run on the banks by the banks. And this is what's so beautiful about this. And I say it's beautiful. It's a proper term. The banks will turn on each other like sharks in a frenzy. Now, this all goes to your debt limit. How much can you afford to borrow? What is your credit line? Banks have credit lines. Banks have credit lines. And as we are supposed to live within our means, the banks are supposed to live within their means. Unfortunately, today the banks are not. They keep borrowing from each other. They keep lending to each other. Nobody cares about the capacity to pay back. But judgment day can come. Judgment day will come, I believe, because the banks are beyond their debt limits, and there's no tomorrow for them. The way it works, there's no tomorrow. They keep borrowing and borrowing. They don't worry about paying back. Nobody worries about loaning them the money. But judgment day comes for everyone, just as it came in the mortgage situation in 2008. Now, to cover their asses, I'm taking a lot of time on this issue because it's important. Banks are playing games, new games. Not the mortgage game. They got new games out there, and there's about three or four of them. They're very simple. The banks are playing new games to cover their action. The whole purpose of these games is to control the flow of money, because if there's a run on the bank by other banks, they're going to need a lot of cash to pay the bank back that's calling in their note and to increase their profit levels. Now, the games are today games. They weren't played before. This is in recent months these games have started, okay? And none are healthy. None of the games I am going to describe to you or explain are healthy for anyone except the banks. The first thing the banks are doing now is they're starting. The two banks have already done it in this country, and the banks have been talking about it, and I believe that within 1 year, the banks will charge interest, okay, on your accounts in the bank. In other words, you have a checking account. You have a savings account. The normal procedure is the bank pays you a little bit of interest. It used to be a lot of interest once. You know, you get 6, 7, 8% on your money. Now you're lucky to get 1% on your money. But whatever, traditionally, historically, forever, banks paid their depositors interest on the money left with the bank. Well, the banks aren't going to do that anymore. They are going to charge you for holding your money in a savings or checking account. You heard me correctly. The banks are going to charge you every month for holding your money. Isn't that amazing? And this is called negative interest. And when you get your bank statement every month, you will see that minus 2.2% or something was withdrawn from your account. Okay, to cover the negative interest due and owing to the bank. Isn't this a big deal? They're going to charge you interest on your money because they're holding it for you. Now, let's go to the second problem that's rearing its ugly head in recent months, safety deposit boxes. I appreciate not everyone has a safety deposit box. Generally, safety deposit boxes, though, have been a place for safekeeping. It's in the bank, in this big vault with these huge doors. Who's going to get at it? And people generally keep papers, diamonds, gold, silver, and they also keep cash in the box. Many times a lot of cash. Well, the banks aren't going to permit anyone to keep cash in the safety deposit box anymore. Two banks have already started this. These two banks have said, as of May 1st, which has already passed us, my friends, and you probably haven't heard of this, as of May 1st, the renter of the bank, of the safety deposit box, rather, promises not to keep cash in the safety deposit box. Now, I don't know how the hell the bank's going to know it's there unless you die and then they go in as they have the right and look. But you can't keep cash in the safety deposit box. This is unique. This is unusual. And the reason for it is the banks want to know at all times today where every dollar is. Because if they get in trouble and there's a run on the banks by other banks, they're going to have to grab every dollar they can from every source. So if it's in the safety deposit box, how are they going to grab it? So they don't want you to keep it in the box anymore. There is to be no more secreting of cash in any fashion. The biggest thing the banks want to do, and this is terrible, this is the biggie, this is the killer, and I fear they're going to get away with it. They want to do away with paper money. Cash. You will no longer use cash, paper money, or coins to buy or pay for anything. Everything's going to be done electronically. Computers. We're going to have electronic banking. Everyone is going to have a debit card. And every time you buy something, whether it's a loaf of bread in a grocery store or a car at a dealership, you will pay for it with the debit card. Your own money. It's like having your own account, and it's your own account, but no more paper money, the debit, the electronic banking using the debit card. Now, why do they want to go to, and they're going to go to it? Trust me, electronic banking. There's three reasons. The banks want to avoid runs on their banks. Now, I'm not talking about a run on the bank this time, one bank against another. Because once that starts, then people are going to run to the banks to take their money out. They want to make sure, the banks want to make sure that the people, their depositors, cannot make a run on their bank. Okay? They've got to keep on holding on to the money so they can pay the other banks when they demand payment. Okay? So they want to prevent, by their depositors, a run on the bank. Now, if the money is controlled electronically, all the bank has to do is push a couple of buttons. This is computer, the age of computers. And they push a couple of buttons, and no one can make withdrawals. That simple, just like that. Bingo. Now, the banks recognize, okay, that bad days are ahead for them. They fear a 1929-type bank run. Everybody ran to the banks in 29. They went under the banks. They fear 1929 is going to happen again. You and I may go broke in such a situation or out of business, but the banks will not if they have total control over money. Your money, my money, everybody else's money. And they can say, boom, you can't take it out of the bank anymore. Banks fear people. This is another reason why they want to do it. Banks fear people will hide, will secrete money, because people do. You can tell, you know, cash is king. I've been through three or four recessions in my lifetime. I'm old enough to have been through them. And it was always said during those recessions, whoever has cash is king. Cash is king, because if you had cash, you survived it big time. You didn't change your way of living or anything else. You had money, okay? Well, and also people, you know, they keep money in accounts. They keep money in safety deposit boxes. They keep money wherever they can. Well, what's going to happen is that if they won't let us keep money in the safety deposit box, they won't let us hide our money, they won't let us keep money in our checking and savings accounts, where are we going to keep it? The only place otherwise to keep it is where people used to keep it before they had faith in banks. People are going to keep their money under the mattress, under the underwear in the drawer, in a tin can buried in the backyard. That's the way it used to be, okay? Many, many years ago, many, over 100 years ago, and we're going to go back to that. And the banks don't want that to happen either. So if they electronically control the money, you have the debit card, there ain't nothing anybody can hide in the backyard in a tin can or under the mattress or in a dresser drawer, okay? Or, as I've already indicated, in a safety deposit box. The banks want total control over money, anyone's money. They want total control. Now, you must understand something that most people don't, because we're never told these things. I wrote about this about 3 years ago. I talked about it on my TV show. I mentioned it in my blog on occasion. Most people in our country do not understand that the banks consider your money their money, okay? They consider your money in the savings account, the checking account, that's their money. It's not your money. And do you want to know something? Excuse me. It is their money, okay? Because by law in this country, as soon as a deposit is made to a savings or checking account, title to the money, title to your home, so forth, that means ownership. Title to the money passes automatically to the bank. You make the deposit, checking or savings account, title to your money that you just deposited passes immediately to the bank. They own your money. You can thank Congress, who passed this bill years ago permitting this, and the president, whoever it was at the time that signed it. It wasn't Obama, I will tell you that. It goes way back. And so we don't own the money. They own the money. And because they own the money, the law is clear. They can do generally what the hell they want with it, and they do. But it's going to get even worse now. Now, to me, it's wrong what the banks are trying to do. I mean, the way they want to control money, the electronic type banking and everything else, to me it appears to be, or I describe it as, economic tyranny, financial repression. They're out to squash our money and put whatever form it is in their pockets. Now, if that isn't tyranny and that isn't repression, I don't know what is. You know, we have to realize banks and corporations have sinners. They have their own sinners, okay? Internally sinners. Just as individual people commit sin, banks commit sins also, okay? Think, and you'll understand immediately that I'm correct. Think of Ponzi. His was a banking, he was a corporation, it was sort of a banking thing. Ponzi, he's in jail for life. Think of Enron. These are corporate people, banking people, who were sinners and were brought to task. Most others were not. Now, I'm going to give you an example, a today example of what a bank is doing that is wrong. It has nothing to do with what I've said thus far. It's a whole other issue, which shows you that banks are devious, are corrupt. They do wrong things. They're not Simon Pure. And sometimes these things are done intentionally to screw the people who are their customers. I'm going to talk about Wells Fargo Bank. We've all heard of Wells Fargo. It's not one of the six biggest banks in the United States, but it is a big bank, Wells Fargo. Well, a lawsuit was brought last week by the city of Los Angeles against Wells Fargo. Turns out that Wells Fargo has a goal program, an employee's goal program, whereby Wells Fargo told their employees, look, take our customer list, and if a customer has a savings account or a checking account, we want each existing customer to have 8 different accounts with Wells Fargo. So it is your job to take them from 1 or 2 accounts to 8, to sell it to them, make sure they get into these other accounts, whether it be deposit notes or credit cards. Do all these things. Bring them up to 8 accounts with Wells Fargo. They called this program Growing for the Great Initiative. Going for the Great Initiative. Great being spelled GR-EIGHT. Well, management pushed the employees heavy. You've got to get us 8 accounts with every customer. So the employees felt the pressure, and they started cheating. Yeah, they started cheating. They opened new accounts, okay, for the customers. They signed customers up on Wells Fargo credit cards. The only trouble is the customers never authorized the opening of these accounts, nor did the customers have knowledge that this was done. Now, that's terrible. In and of itself, what's just occurred, what I just described, is horrible. But it gets even worse, because on each account, banks charge a fee. Wells Fargo charged a fee on each of the new accounts. The fees were not paid by the customer. So Wells Fargo, you're not going to believe this, sent the unpaid fees out to collection. And they sent the unpaid fees out to collection. Now, at the same time, they notified credit reporting agencies that their customer was not paying his or her bills because they were not paying the fees. So the customer got screwed 2 different ways. Excuse me. To compound what I've just described for you, to compound the wrongdoing, it is claimed in the lawsuit that Wells Fargo became aware at some point, became aware at some time and of the situation and permitted it to continue, permitted it to go on. My concern at this point with regard to the Wells Fargo situation is this. If I were to write a similar column a year from now, it would be the same as this one, except what the banks are doing would be different. There would be new and different bank transgressions. The bank, let me put it this way, I don't think the banks today are doing what is right by God and country. Simply put, they're not doing what is right by God and country. They're evil, they're sinners, they're bad people. And, you know, they're going to have new gimmicks, new games they're going to play with the people who do business with them in the next year. And why is this going to happen? Because they have never been punished in recent years for their wrongdoing. Again, banks have never been punished for their wrongdoing. For the 2008 mortgage problem, they've never been punished. Why? Because our government told us, and our government was wrong in this respect, they were too big to fail, too big to prosecute. The banks believe they can get away with murder because they have already to billions, trillions of dollars, okay? And they're going to keep going until they do. The people start, you know, the law says you're caught. You go out and steal. Some guy steals a loaf of bread because he's got to feed his family. They're hungry. He's going to go to jail. These guys steal millions and trillions of dollars. Nobody goes to jail. Something screwed up here. Now, I have a way to solve this problem, not because I'm an economic genius, which I am not, but I have what I consider a simple solution. And I've been saying this for 3 years now, television, articles, and so forth. My solution, very simple one. Send some of the bad guys, some of the bad bankers, to jail. Arrest some of these big guys that are running these operations and shows that are screwing the public. Arrest them. Indict them. Try them. Send them to jail. I guarantee you that if we do this, if our government goes out and starts prosecuting these bankers who consistently do wrong, it's going to stop. The bank problems are going to stop. Once we put a few billionaire bankers in jail, the rest of them aren't going to play games anymore because they don't want to go to jail. They want to continue enjoying their multi-million dollar lifestyle. And the best cure here is to prosecute and jail some of the bankers. Will it ever happen? It's got to happen. We've got to come to that point in our society. We can't let the big guys get away with murder, in effect. Now, I believe Hillary Clinton will make an outstanding president. Absolutely. However, as I said on the show last week, I believe, we have to make a decision. The election's still 18 months away. What is the most important thing at the time of the election? Is it the wars we're involved in the Middle East? Or is it the economy? And if we decide it's the wars, we definitely should send Hillary to the presidency. But I think if it's the economy, we've got to start thinking Elizabeth Warren. Not because I have anything against Hillary Clinton. I think she's magnificent. It's her time. On the other hand, Elizabeth Warren's the only one I know out there who's talking the game the right way on behalf of the public. No other political figure is, all right? She's even on the president's ass today saying that the specific pact agreement is no good, which I agree with her. It is no good. And I did a whole show on this about 6 months ago. It will only hurt us. We'll lose more jobs. We lose certain legal rights as a country and as a people. And only the corporations will decide what is right or wrong who belong to this this thing where they're going to exchange business worldwide. So, and she's the only one who sees it, really, who speaks about it. And what she's accomplishing out there by bringing it to our attention is the right thing to do. She's in total disagreement with Obama. I think Obama is blind. He sees this globalization as helping everybody. So did President Clinton, who was a great president, by the way, but he screwed up on the pact he made. He made an international pact, trade pact, and this was going to create so many more jobs. And as a result of this pact that Clinton led us into, we lost a ton of jobs to Europe and Asia, even to Mexico. So we got to see where we're going. I think the president's wrong on this issue. I think she's right. She talks about the banks doing wrong things. She knows where the bodies are buried when it comes to money. Her lifetime of work have made her intelligent, astute as to these situations. And I like her if money's the issue in the next election. I spent a lot of time tonight on the banks, but this is a big issue, and it's important that we know, again, because the media does not make us aware, and it's wrong that they don't, and I'm going to tell you why they don't. I didn't intend to get into this, but very briefly, it's simple. The media is owned by major corporations and rich people. Comcast owns NBC. Richard Murdoch owns Fox News. Do I have to tell you anymore? And I honestly believe that the people who are on television, I'm talking about the news broadcasters, the news talk show people, and they only discuss what they are told to discuss, and if they're told you can't talk about this, they don't, and sometimes their opinions on things you can see change over a period of week, because I assume and I believe the corporate pressure from upstairs is brought to bear. I just want to go quickly for a moment to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. This is where last week or in the last 2 weeks, two black brothers, and I'm not calling these two black men brothers, they happen to be biological brothers. Two black brothers shot two police officers and killed them. You know, it's a reverse of the situation because, and we all know this, my friends, in life, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. We, the blacks, were being killed by the cops. Now the cops are going to turn around and start killing the blacks. The blacks are going to turn around rather than start killing the cops. That's the show for this week. I'm sorry to bore you so long with the bank issue, but this is really important. And we've got to know what's going on in this regard because our government and the media are not letting us know. I thank you for joining me. Read my article on this in Conk Life. But the article is also archived on the show is archived on Block Talk Radio and YouTube. The show is on Facebook, my Kiwis Lulu and Louis Patron sites. My column that's in the newspaper. My Conk Life column is run also by me. We are linked, and you can find it on Key West Lou, the column, and on Louis Patron. You should read this banking column as I've set it forth in the newspaper. I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. If you like the show and how I handle things, buy my book. If you don't like this show and the things I talk about, don't buy the book. You will not enjoy it. Thank you again for joining me this week. I look forward to talking with you again next week.